Larry Parr is kindly with us today. Larry's been a film and television producer, but heads Te Māngai Pāho now, and the news yesterday coming through and in media circles significant too, because News Hubs announced that it's going to close down at the end of June after facing huge financial losses and what that might mean for media in this country and its impacts perhaps potentially on Māori media. Thanks for joining us, Larry. Kia ora anō, hoki maira.
Koe Dale, tēnā koe o te rā, koutou te hunga e whakarongo ana.
Thank you. As a long-time broadcaster, you know, you got a feel for colleagues. Even though they're sort of working through mainstream channels, there's some fine Māori talent as well, and has been across the years in News Hub's delivery. So a sad day for media in New Zealand. What do you think it means for the media landscape, Larry?
We've got to be show aroha for all of our colleagues that are going to be impacted by this. I had a little bit of a chance to reflect on it overnight, of course, and one of the things that I was thinking about was like, man, this probably could have happened 12 months earlier if TVNZ and RNZ had merged, or might have it happened earlier if that had happened, or might there have been a swing behind TV3 if that merger had gone ahead. How do we know? But yeah, I guess for me, losing a significant voice is of concern. It also means pretty much that the only news services are government-funded news services now, with TVNZ, RNZ, and, the Māori news services. And what does that mean and what are the risks in that? How do we ensure that there's who's going to keep TVNZ in line or keep them honest? All of those sorts of questions that arise for me.
As a Māori broadcast funding agency too, you've been very aware of the significant costs associated with news gathering, and because it's here today, gone tomorrow, some say that it is a poor investment with limited funds. Te Māngai Pāho does support news gathering, I Te Reo Māori, but does it have some implications on how we view news? And ultimately, what's going to be the hit or the impact of this decision and situation on Māori media from your read, Larry?
Well, I don't think this necessarily is going to have any direct impact on Māori news. But as you may be aware, we last or just before Christmas, we started a process of having conversations with the Māori news and current affairs sector, looking for ways that we can do better with the money, not from our point of view, but working with the sector to get a greater level of collaboration, because the current trajectory is not necessarily going to be sustainable, and if we have budget cuts, it's going to challenge us all further. So I believe that there's always going to be a need and place for Māori news and current affairs. So I don't think Māori news and current affairs is at risk. However, I do think that we need to be thinking smarter about how we can collaborate better across the Māori news and current affairs sector to ensure we're getting the best bang for our buck, and not Te Māngai Pāho getting the best bang for his buck, our sector getting the, delivering the best outcomes to our audiences.
Well, I guess one spin-off might be excuse the pun, but TVE3 and newsrooms got some significant Māori muscle within their organisations. They may join those contesting for funds through the organisation that you run. Would you welcome that, or does it cloud the waters with more seeking opportunities from a limited pool?
Well, what I would say is that that might have implications for some of the existing contract holders if they did that. So I think that from my point of view, what I would much rather see is some of that great Māori talent that's going to be freed up as a result of this drawn into the current Māori news and current affairs pool, and thereby, you know, improve the outputs.
Mike McRoberts for Royal Wāte, do you think?
Or for Kata Māori Pair.
Perhaps, who knows? Hey, look, Māori journalists, Larry, were introduced into mainstream newsrooms with the Public Journalism Interest Fund. It seemed that as soon as the money ran out, the Māori journalists were, for the main, let go. Well, the experiment was to increase diversity in newsrooms. Did it hit the mark, or was it a failure?
So I haven't got the data on that. So you're saying that the Māori journalists that were introduced as a result of the PIJF fund have been subsequently let go. I've got no evidence to support that at the moment, but I'm happy to dig into it. Look, you know, the PIJF fund was, you know, a temporary fix. You know, if the PIJF fund continues, then maybe Three News would be continuing, you know. So, I mean, it was a COVID response, essentially. I think that New Zealand On Air did their best to try and say, although this is a COVID response, let's see how we can improve diversity of voice, et cetera, with the fund as well. But, whenever you've got a dump of funding like that, there's temporary. It's not necessarily going to have great long-term outcomes or medium-term outcomes for that matter, is it?
As targeted funding for Māori initiatives comes increasingly under the political spotlight, and we're seeing the situation at Taka Whaiora as an example, does that put pressure too on monies afforded Māori media efforts, Larry?
I think we need to be conscious of the heightened scrutiny, and make sure that we are delivering, you know, really well to avoid any cutbacks. And I think that by and large we're doing that quite well. And in fact, we had our first meeting with Minister Portaka yesterday afternoon, at the moment we see our primary focus is being able to tell a good story in terms of this is what the funding we get, and this is where we spend it, and this is how we measure in a robust way the outcomes.
So we think we're doing a decent job. Everyone's trying their best, and what could be described as limited funding, but that's the reality for Māori media, Māori broadcasting, Māori journalism. Have there been any overtures about that pūtea not being used as effectively as it might, and therefore the sector that we're involved in, Larry, coming under political scrutiny?
No, I haven't had any of those overtures from the government at the moment. However, you know, what we have recognised ourselves, and this is not just Te Māngai Pāho recognising this, one of the things that was really pleasing at that Wānanga I referred to earlier, a News and Current Affairs Wānanga, was the overwhelming consensus in the room that we needed to do something to change the direction of travel.
Kōrero mai, what's that suggesting?
Well, all I'm saying is that, for instance, we currently fund, I'm talking about the Crown funding for Māori news and for Māori content. We currently fund five Māori current affairs programs in English. And do I think that's sustainable? No, I don't. And would we be better off having one or two really, really good programs? And where's the Te Reo Māori, a really, really good Te Reo Māori current affairs program for wide distribution? So, those gathered in the room at the in December, they agreed that we, you know, what we're doing now is not necessarily sustainable and not giving us our audiences the best possible options.
So everything's up for debate.
Yeah, absolutely. And that was what the room agreed was. We should there should be no sacred cows, and what we should do is say, how can we as a collective do things differently?
Interesting stuff, Larry. Well, I'm hoping everyone's hoping their programs will be safe, but at least I've got a lawnmower and could start a lawn mowing round if things turn to custard.
You and me both, right?
All right, Larry, let's talk again soon. Thanks very much.
Okay, hey, Connor.
Kia ora.